Blog Talk Radio.
There is no earthly way of knowing.
Good man is on fire.
Which direction we are going?
Not wrecked the El Camino. It would have been DWI.
Have reached a tipping point.
Good evening, and welcome to the tipping point. We have a very, very special guest tonight, Mr. David Marquez. And that's all we need. Except, of course, the hostess with the mostest. I give to you, legend, and the man who will be flying to Chicago tomorrow, the only guy more over in Chicago than CM Punk, it is Larry Goodman. How you doing tonight, Larry?
Fine. Yeah, I'm going to be there a week early before all the damn festivities get going for that huge AEW weekend.
You got to keep it hot. You got to keep it hot between CM Punk being there and CM Punk being there again. They had to bring in the middle reliever, and that is Larry Goodman, if I've ever heard it. So,
well, we got a guy who's also got a something important coming up next week, and he's on the line right now. I'd call David Marquez one of the most entrepreneurial people in independent wrestling, and with Championship Wrestling from Atlanta coming to us shortly, let's talk with him now. Joining us on the Tipping Point, David Marquez, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
Excellent,
thank you,
David.
So, David, what brings you to – what brings Championship Wrestling to Atlanta? Why Atlanta? You've done this in several other cities. Why Atlanta?
Well, why not? I've been in and out of Atlanta for years. The crowd is always great. Even in WCW times when I freelanced through Harley Race and Gordon Solie way back when, Atlanta's always been good to me. I did a 50th anniversary show for the NWA or the 60th anniversary at Phillips Arena, which we had a really good crowd and, you know, sponsors and all that stuff. And we put it on television and, you know, that opened up an arena business for me. We did probably 60, 70 arenas in a 3-year period, all great programming and shows and talent across the world based off that Atlanta show. So, you know, Atlanta's always been good. And this project actually started about 5 years ago when I contacted Peachtree TV, then still, I believe it was still WTBS 17. It was maybe the ownership was crossover was happening, but with Meredith Broadcasting, but I pitched to them the idea of doing a local studio show because of the success of Championship Wrestling from Hollywood out of Los Angeles and being syndicated across the country, nowhere near what we have now in syndication, but still it was picking up steam. And then we had Championship Wrestling from Arizona, which was shot in Tucson, and it was throughout the state of Arizona. So we figured out a model, and at the time, I don't know if it was because the station was for sale or they were or whatever, but they weren't necessarily interested. And then Billy Corgan and David Lagana come my way after they exit Impact and wanted to do something together with me. And it just sounded like Billy wanted to do his own thing versus partner with somebody like our United Wrestling Network. And so during our initial meeting, I just kind of blurted it out. I was like, well, I know the NWA is for sale. And he said, it is. And what is it and how is it? And, you know, I shared the information I knew and helped and showed them where all the previous bodies were buried in my 20-plus-year relationship with the organization to that point, off and on. and helped him buy the NWA brand from the then ownership. But in the back of my mind, I had already found Georgia Public Broadcasting, where I was going to do this Channel 17 wrestling show. So, you know, a year or two, a build up. We do the 70th anniversary for the NWA in Nashville, and then the idea of doing an NWA television program started, and they were going to do it in Nashville. And I said, no, 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 there's a place I know of in Atlanta that's perfect for this, and it's Georgia Public Broadcasting. Went down there, made the deal. Obviously, that turned into NWA Power, and that reignited my love for the Atlanta fan base and their enthusiasm. And then when my relationship ended with the new NWA, I said, oh, well, let me see. Oh, and let me back up. While we were doing Power, I contacted Peachtree TV again to repackage Power for Channel 17 for to get people into locally to understand what this is if they're not watching it on YouTube and to sell tickets and whatnot. But the NWA wasn't interested in doing that. So I knew that there was now interest in the new ownership of doing something. And so when we went our separate ways in the beginning of 2021, I just kind of made a couple phone calls after I did the primetime live pay-per-view series with the United Wrestling Network. I had some other thoughts. So I went back to the station, hit them up on the idea. We had CarShield as our title sponsor across the country with the Hollywood program, and our Memphis program had started at that point. They really loved it. So that's how we ended up back in Atlanta and now at Center Stage coming up on September 2nd. It's just been a crazy, like, 4 or 5 months putting this event together. But that's how I ended up back in Atlanta.
You know, the TV, of course, coming out of Center Stage is going to look beautiful. I mean, that's a great building for television, which I'm not telling you anything you don't know. but it's also a big building for TV. Are you concerned about that at all? About how that's going to look?
Not at all.
No.
And in fact, I am hoping that we don't sell the place out because I know it may be unpopular in the South to say this. I am very conscious of COVID, and if I had it my way, everyone would be masked. the people I'm in partners with down there are like, we don't want to do that. So if we only have 100, 200, 300 people in that 700-seat place, I'm fine with that. We've been doing programming over the last year and a half in front of nobody. So having a few hundred people there is fantastic just to have breathing bodies and people enjoying what we do. But we mastered shooting our Hollywood program and Primetime Live without an audience. The same thing with I'm not sure if people know this, but I produced the New Japan Pro Wrestling Strong program. So we did that for a year in our same facility where we do Hollywood without fans. So if we have anybody there, I'm going to be ecstatic.
Okay. You know, go ahead, Steve.
Hey, David, Stephen Platinum. Do you have any? Do you have any like boots on the ground, like local people who are helping you out with the promotional side near Atlanta?
Sure.
Cool. Like anybody
who
you can talk about, or?
Well, yeah. I mean, Gallo's crew is helping us out a whole lot. We have Zicky Dice who's there, and if people don't know, Zicky started with us on the Hollywood program before he went to the NWA and. You know, he lives in Atlanta. And then a handful of just, you know, people we know promotion-wise and the TV station and, you know, salespeople and all kinds of stuff. I kind of don't take the traditional route of promoting if anyone's ever followed my career. I'm really big into broadcasting. So, you know, the live event is important for sure. But it's a new product. It's a new name. People are going to look at it. People are going to be like, who's this outsider coming in? That happens in every town I've ever gone into, and I've been in many of them. And Larry will remember a fiasco I had in Knoxville probably about 10, 12 years ago.
I was going to ask you about that.
It was a mess. Oh, it was a mess. A complete mess that I had nothing to do with, and I'm so upset that it went the way it went. But, you know, it had to do with, you know, being the outsider. And I just had this issue in Memphis, you know, and, you know, he's gone now, Bert Prentice, but he was creating problems for us in Memphis to go in, and we were on the air already for 3 years before we started doing live matches, original matches. So, you know, it's just silly, this old way of thinking, and, you know, that's why you won't see posters and handbills on car windows right now, because it's a waste. Someone will come by and pull it, and it's just a waste of money.
Yeah, so not to belabor a sore point, but, like, you've been successful in Arizona, obviously in Hollywood, and in Memphis.
Yeah.
Knoxville was not a success, and, you know, my impression from you up there is you did not have the local partners you needed up there to make that work. Is that an accurate perception?
It's 100% accurate, and it was kind of like when the cat's away, the people I had that I was working with there did absolutely nothing to help this thing. They were trying to help themselves. It was 100% selfish. And it's interesting because years ago, Gordon Solie taught me, you know, he said, you know, the first way to kill a wrestling company, David, is a five-letter word that starts with G and ends with D. And he's absolutely right. So, unfortunately, a guy's name is Troy Lowe. He was a belt maker. I have no problem talking about it. He had no business being in wrestling. He brought other local wrestling people in. I ended up with Jim Cornette there that I thought we were going to do great stuff with. And then there was another promoter that I can't remember his name that was brought in from Florida. And when I was gone, they convinced the TV station that they didn't need me, and it was a Fox station. And
the radio guy.
Overnight.
I know who you mean.
Overnight. Overnight, they were buying the time on the station when I was partners with the station. So the station was making money. We were making money under my thing. But then they came in. They basically bought the time from under me, and they changed the name from we just called it Southeastern Championship Wrestling just to try to get some nostalgia. And they ended up calling it like something America Wrestling, and it went nowhere. They shot their TV in the dark because they didn't know what they were doing, and it was just bad.
It was. I remember going to the taping they ran up there when they did bring Cornette one time, and then that was the end of it. Chris Lash was the guy's name who wound up with Great America Wrestling.
Yeah, it was horrible. Atrocious.
Yeah. So, David, you know, it's interesting that in this time when it seems like every independents are going towards either IWTV or Fight TV or YouTube, and you're going a completely different direction.
Yep. The reason being is – oh, go ahead. Finish your question. I'm sorry.
No, that's it. I was just wondering about that.
Okay. Well, I'm a broadcaster. TV stations still exist because people still watch television. The numbers aren't as high necessarily – but the advertising is high. So most people don't understand, you know, radio or television or traditional broadcasting like they used to in the masses, the business side of it, but I understand it well. So as we package, say, a Memphis or an Atlanta with Hollywood, see, Hollywood's seen on over 300 outlets across the country in two languages. It's in English and Spanish. We're in all the top markets. And I could have easily started in Atlanta with the Hollywood show and flipped it over, but I didn't want to do that. Because the incentives about, like, if you've ever watched the Memphis version of our show, you'll see all the product placement. You'll see all the advertising. I have no issues being NASCAR. That's what pays the bills. So we bring tons, quote unquote, tons of money from a wrestling perspective in nationally, it trickles down to local. And the model for this, the true model, is Championship Wrestling from Memphis. Dustin Starr there, he's a juggernaut. That guy knows how to make everything work. And, you know, we have Dave and Buster's and Sonic and Jet's Pizza and so many other local franchises and whatnot. And the TV station working with us, you know, that's what you have to do. You have to understand TV, what the station's needs are in order for you to be successful. Because for decades, pro wrestling took advantage of television. They never gave back. They had huge ratings. They ran these big buildings, and the TV stations got nothing out of it. You know, so now I've kind of flipped it where the TV station has a lot to gain for working with a person like me. And it's local, outside of news.
So in line this, what does the TV station gain from partnering with Championship Wrestling from Atlanta?
Well, the main thing, it's original content, it's local programming, and like I said, it's outside of news. Most sports or anything like the Braves, my guess is they have their own proprietary cable channel that they're on now. Same thing with the Falcons or whatever. They have taken that away from broadcast television. So there's no sports, no local anything. You might not even get college, or you're lucky to maybe even get high school or prep sports on broadcast TV today. So a show like ours, who have talent that appears on WWE, AEW, Ring of Honor, New Japan, my programming, previously the NWA, whatever, like there's stars on there. Those are television stars from Raw and SmackDown and whatnot. So they can package that with their other programming. Let's say if they are a what's called a duopoly, which means a television station, two TV stations or multiple TV stations are owned by the same company in the same market. Let's say they have a Fox station and then they have a program like ours on their CW or My Network or another channel. They package it with SmackDown, and it's added value for an advertiser. So our programming is important to the overall vibe and sellability of pro wrestling or sports or local content, even anything like that for a local TV station.
Yeah. So, David, what is the obviously you're going to have the big show coming up. That's very exciting. Mm-hmm. What's the plan? Is there like a shooting schedule? Like in a perfect world, assuming it goes well, what's your time frame? Is it once a month or what are we looking
at? It is once a month. Yeah, it is once a month. And we have center stage dates held until January 22 right now. You know, I'm not going anywhere necessarily unless the station comes back to me and says, this is a complete flop. We're not doing this anymore. But our next one, I'll just tell you, we haven't made this public yet, but October 7th. November 4th and December 2. That's the tapes through the end of the year. So if we make it, we make it. And the great thing about the Atlanta show right now, we're going to preempt Hollywood across the country on our 300 stations and replace it with the Atlanta show so people get a taste of what it is. Because at the same time, Hollywood is being rebranded. For 8 years, we were shooting at the Ocean View Pavilion out here in Los Angeles. It was basically a theater that I flipped where we shot off the stage, much like center stage, but it was a traditional theater, a performing arts theater that we turned into a TV studio. The look was there. I felt it was stale. I think we exhausted all our resources there. And now we made a deal with Commerce Casino, which is a card-playing casino here in Los Angeles, and we're going to be coming out of their ballroom now. So this Atlanta program, in theory, will be changing the whole look of what the United Wrestling Network is nationally. So it's a different type of model for us. And so with Atlanta being out there for about 4 or 5, maybe 6 weeks leading into what we do at Commerce when we bring Hollywood back on, like a reintroduction of what we've done. And we've been on the air with Hollywood for 12 years. Mm-hmm. There's well over 600 weekly episodics outside of the pandemic shutting us down. We'd be close to 700 weekly TV hours. So, I've had a great time and I feel what we do in Atlanta is going to be fun, and it's a build. If it's going to be 200, 300, 400 people over the next 4 months, I'm fine with that. And I got to say, I'm fine with that because of the great people at CarShield.
So you got a good sponsor in CarShield.
I do. Fantastic sponsor. They even put me in the commercial.
I noticed. So those of us who are going to be venturing into the center stage on September 2, who might we be expecting to see there?
You're going to see all kinds of great people. And I don't want to get too much away. But we have WWE talent that's going to be there. Former, the Ascension, Drama King Matt, Caleb Conley, I know, is on the program. Our United Wrestling Network World Tag Team Champions, the Bodega, they've also been rebranded as the new LAX on MLW, the exact same team. So Danny Rivera and Slice Boogie, they kind of have freeboard rules with a third person named Papo Esco, but Slice will be on this program. And the big thing to me, I've been waiting 8 years to do this, maybe even 9 years now. We're finally going to have our own United Wrestling Network world champion, and we started a tournament almost this time last year on our pay-per-view program for the title. But COVID just knocked us out. We couldn't do it anymore. Right at the finals, like the final match where we had Mike Bennett going up against Chris Dickinson. And so that match will happen on the 2nd, and we will have a world champion for our organization for the first time in 8 or 9 years. And the funny part about this, just to kind of open the curtain a little bit, every person I asked and negotiated to be the world champion in that time period all got a contract, from Carl Anderson to Finn Balor to Nakamura to Peter Avalon to you name it. Every person I went to within 2 weeks of me asking them, they ended up with a job somewhere else where I couldn't do it. And then
wow.
We do this, and now you're like, of course I can't make a champion. Thank you, COVID.
Well, you provided us with a wealth of information. Steve, anything else you want to say before we let him go?
No, I just want to make sure we get the specifics in. You know, how can people get tickets, daytime,
well,
make sure we get all that
sure.
shut down.
Well, it's going to be on the 2nd. Bell time is 7:15. We'll be 3 hours of television, maybe a little bit more depending on, you know, timing. But it's ran pretty tight, just like a TV show. If you went to the power tapings, it'll be ran pretty much like that. Boom, 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 boom.
Mm-hmm.
It's a week night, so I want you to get in and out. You know, I don't want you guys stuck there. I understand your time, and you know, I don't want to own too much of it. But tickets are available. All the ringside sold out, so tickets start at $10, and they're available at Ticketmaster. But if you go to WrestleAtlanta.com and at WrestleAtlanta on Instagram and Twitter, you know, there's tons of information on there. They're just releasing some videos, and this is new with the new staff and all that stuff, so stuff is slowly getting out and being put together. But it's all there. Tickets start at $10, all ages show. I say come out. You never know who or what's going to be there, and my history should speak for itself. You know, who knows? Maybe Bill Behrens and I will finally have that match we've been fighting about for 25 years. We fought enough in the NWA boardrooms, so why not in front of people? We can actually make some money for once. No, Bill and I are
that's
friends
great.
Still to this day.
Excellent.
Well, Dave, I can't wait to hear about the show. I know, Larry, you were planning to be there, correct?
I will. Yes. Barring any kind of unforeseen issues, I will be there September 2 for this show, yes.
Well,
excellent.
I haven't seen you in a while, so hopefully we say
yeah.
hi and, you know, come
we'll
on
do.
Over and don't be shy. Oh, one last thing. Our broadcast team is great. We have Gilbert coming in from Louisville, who used to be the OVW a commentator for many years. We have Alyssa Moreno, who started on Hollywood and went to NXT. And then we have Johnny LaQuasto, who also was on Hollywood for probably 9 years. Then he went to the WWE and actually was in SmackDown a few times. So, you know, during the pandemic, they were let go. But I'm so happy to have them back here. Again, Dustin Starr from our Memphis program will be doing ringside interviews. Along with Marty Bell. She's our female ringside interviewer, and every now and again you'll probably get my silly self out there with a microphone as the third string guy.
That's a strong crew of announcers.
Yeah,
yeah,
very
great.
Happy. And our ring announcer is Bryce Boudreau, who hosts our Lake Charles, Louisiana version of the program.
Wow.
That's not a local promotion. That's the Hollywood show repackaged with the host.
Gotcha. Well,
again,
awesome.
For advertising purposes.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for coming on. And I'm excited because I'm here in Orlando. And, you know, Hollywood shows here all the time. So I'm looking mm-hmm. forward to get to see what you do in the Atlanta show as well. It's very exciting.
Yeah. Well, we're negotiating with OTT stuff, apps, to see if we can place this somewhere where it makes sense for us. So, because the stuff isn't cheap, so we have to pay for it. So there's no more just sticking it online and, you know, staring at the pennies on YouTube. This has to be a real business. But hopefully we can put it online so the world can see it too. At least all of Canada will see it, because Peachtree is still up there with that old WTBS relationship.
So, I was wondering about this. So this will air in Canada?
Oh, it will. Yep. At Saturday night, it starts that the playback, I don't think I talked about that. The playback is starts September 18th, Saturday nights at 10 o'clock. What a great time slot, right?
I'm just going to say, yeah.
Peachtree is really, really believing in it, and I am too. So people listening to this, you got to watch it. You got to be there. If you want something fun and cool and to call your own, you know, go for it. I don't know when they're going to be back at Georgia Public Broadcasting, so here I is. Come visit.
Great.
Excellent.
Well, thanks, Dave. Thanks for giving us your time. I'll see you on the second.
You got it, guys. Yeah, thank you guys for having me, and see you there.
Take care.
You got it.
Nice.
Yeah. So we're going to get a world title match, or their version of the world title match there at the center stage. Going to be interesting for sure.
I was wondering who Dickinson was going to wrestle, because I saw that he was on the poster. So I guess that answers the question.
Yeah. They did put that out somewhere in the media, that match. So, yeah.
And the local guys they're using are, you know, they're your top-notch guys, right? You have Overkill and Logan Creed and, you know, any number of guys. So there really isn't – I mean, I'm excited to hear that Marty Bell is going to be, like, the ringside announcer and all that kind of stuff. What are your thoughts initially, you know, now that we've talked to David, is it a workable model to you, just on hearing on the face of it?
Well, the part I've never understood is the how the money part works. Now, he says he's got, you know, he just told us he's got the sponsors and that's not an issue, and he's got the TV station behind it.
Yeah.
So if that being true, yeah, it sounds like it's workable.
The questions that I have, just in a general thing of, I'm curious what, and this, you know, we're only going to know this when the show happens. And if I'm too like amorphous about this, Larry, let me know. But like, I'm curious of what their identity is.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So what makes this a promotion? I mean, it's called From a Championship Wrestling from Atlanta, but I mean, I ran shows in Atlanta. That doesn't really mean anything to me, right? Because it's not like we have the, you know, the descendants of Mr. Wrestling working the show or something like that. So it's, what's the identity? What makes this a different kind of show, I guess, is what I'm asking. Or does that even need to exist? Do we just need a well-run TV show for enough people to be happy to keep this thing going?
Well, yeah, I mean, so if we've got an actual TV studio show based in Atlanta being taped at the center stage and it's a good quality show, what I don't have any handle on is what kind of viewership does Peachtree TV have? And is their hope that they get, because this is original content, this becomes a good ratings thing for them?
Right.
And with so much wrestling out there, but not necessarily, well, there's so much wrestling on TV, there's so much wrestling anywhere, does anybody need a new another wrestling program?
Right. That again, and again, that's why I think identity is so important, because, you know, David's not wrong, right? Oh, this is, you know, this is your local thing, especially if, you know, the NWA is not there, right? If they're not taping anymore in the PBS studios, then this is what you have, besides like AWE and that kind of thing. And so is that enough? Because, I mean, I have said for years, people can say all day, like, Atlanta is a great place to run a wrestling show. But I'll just be blunt. Atlanta is an incredibly tough place to run a wrestling show because there is so much to do, right? And so what's going to make people haul their cookies out to center stage?
I'm curious, Steve, is there any advantage in 2021 to having an over-the-air, non-cable wrestling show? Does the people who don't, you know, threw away their cable boxes and are doing Hulu and stuff like that, they'll be able to get this thing, and anybody who doesn't have any kind of cable will be able to get this thing. Does that help anybody in 2021?
I guess we're going to find out. And again, it's, you know, like in the WWE right now, as much as we use phrases like pay-per-view, it doesn't, there is no such thing, right?
No.
So the WWE, I mean, their new thing is they're crowing because they're like, SummerSlam is the most watched pay-per-view ever. And that is a major accomplishment. But it's not a pay-per-view. Right? So, like, the terminology that we're using is all skewed. I mean, it was eyeballs on a product that definitely happened. And then, you know, there's certain other things about that press release that I'm like, you know, they're like, we've never sold so many T-shirts. Well, motherfuckers, you couldn't sell any because the credit card system was down. So what the fuck are you talking about? You know what I mean? Like, so I don't even know. And so my point is, in reality, the WWE, and this is for all the wrestlers wrestling and all the rest of it, you're really wrestling for an audience of one, right? It's Vince McMahon. That's the truth. If that dude's happy, you've got a job. If that dude's not happy with you, you don't have a job. And it has nothing to do with draw, because there is no such thing, right, under the current dynamic. We just use an antiquated way of trying to understand wrestling, because that's what we grew up with. Subsequently, I don't know, like, it sounds like they're wrestling for an audience of Peach State TV, doesn't it? Like, if they're happy, they move on. If they're not happy, then it ends. And there's really the sole arbiters of that. It doesn't sound like the number of crowds. I mean, I don't know. This is a first for me. I've never heard a promoter say, I don't care how many people are there to watch it. Like, I didn't talk for a while because I had fainted, Larry, because I understand, you know, they tape shows in front of nobody. But that is not the ideal, right? Like, that's not a good-looking TV product if you're in front of 50. But then again, they're wrestling for an audience of one, at least to start. And so I guess the goal is, let's put on a great show, and we know how to frame it. So if we get 40 people, we'll position them just so. And if we get a couple hundred, we'll position them just so. And
now,
we shall see.
He said that the $30 seats were sold out. He said those were gone. Now, I don't know how he's gotten distributed at center stage, but I guess if the show looks good and Peachtree, as you say, Peachtree TV is happy with it and happy with the feedback they get on it, that's all that really that's what matters. I guess that's what it's really about, and the numbers of people in the center stage, I guess, is not really relevant to the success. So, I mean, that's what he's saying.
And if you're charging $10 a ticket, the goal is get them in the door, and more than we're counting on the gate. And so I understand that part, certainly. And, you know, for the guys alone, I hope they have a good amount of people there. Just because I guess, yes, it's new show, and yes, David Marquez is right about everything he was saying, but man.
It's certainly good for the Atlanta people. It can't be bad for them to get – it's certainly more exposure
Absolutely.
For our local Georgia talent that's going to be able to get on this show. Can't hurt them.
Hearing that these tapings that they're doing are going to take the place of the Hollywood show for a time is really exciting to me, because I'll be able to see the show and I'll be able to see how they kind of cut it up and repackage it.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's where they're really going to, and because we've seen that a lot, Larry, that people are defining themselves by the taping stuff that they're doing. And that's really exciting. So, you know, with promos and the way that they put it together, it could look completely different on television than it does when you see that live product, right? So I'm curious how they're going to handle all that, who's running all that. But David seems very confident, and, you know, whatever mistakes he's made in the past in Knoxville and whatnot, it doesn't sound like he's keen on repeating them. So, yeah. I'm certainly looking forward to that report for sure.
You remember a few years ago when we had that Chris Lash on the show? After all that stuff went down.
I remember Chris Lash.
Yes. Well, that's the guy who he's wound up with that spot in Knoxville and took it from David. That was Chris Lash.
And what happened with that spot?
Well, it all went down in flames in a matter of a few months. He brought Coronet in for one taping, which I went to, which was pretty bad. And Coronet was not happy and did not want to come back, and he did not come back. And that, I think they ran a couple more, and, you know, that went down the drain. That's what I remember.
You know, wrestling is such fertile ground right now. And, you know, like that IWN show, which to me had every sign of this thing's going to die. And now it seems like, well, nope, they're going to give it the college try a couple more times. And
oh, yeah.
It's exciting. I mean, it's exciting that this show's happening.
Very interesting time. Speaking of exciting, can we talk about CM Punk for just a couple minutes here? As a
Absolutely.
Chicagoan, I feel compelled to talk about CM Punk. And as a Chicagoan, to say that was just Chicago all the way, that wonderful moment and return of CM Punk. It couldn't have happened anywhere else like that, and no better place for it to happen than Chicago at the United Center. It just shows Chicago is a great sports town, a great wrestling town, and, you know, obviously Punk's their boy. It was amazing. It was amazing. But for me, it made me think back of the little bit I knew Punk, which was way back in his indie days. I first met him in 2002 on a softball field in West Bend, Wisconsin. He was working. This was a Mid-America wrestling show that I was up in Chicago visiting, and one of the reasons I went is Crew Jones was on the show because he was up there visiting family or some kind of a job thing. I don't know. But get this. On this show was Tracy Smothers, CM Punk, Jimmy Jacobs, Colt Cabana, Nate Webb, Ace Steele, Ian Rotten. We're all on this stupid show on this softball field in West Bend, Wisconsin. And so Punk was recovering from some sort of a head injury, and he was not medically cleared. So he was there with Smothers, and all he did was go in this ring with Smothers, and they did a promo. And I remember that Punk insulted my wife in the promo, and which she had such fond memories of this, of him insulting her in the promo. Anyway, I went over and talked to him. He was back at the gimmick tables, and at that point, I wasn't all that like enamored with the Chicago area wrestling that I'd seen. And I said something like that to him, and he kind of looked at me, and he gave me a. Remember back in those days, you still watched tapes. He gave me a tape to watch of some of the local stuff, and I have to say, it was damn good, and it opened my eyes. So I talked to him a few more times because he was still doing IWA Mid-South at that point, and then, of course, he was also parlaying and moving over to Ring of Honor at the same time. And I never really, of course, once he got in Ring of Honor, that was that, and I never talked to Punk again. But it was interesting just to think back on those years of, you know, his early beginnings in Chicago. You know, so he grew up in he went to Lockport East High School, which is not really, well, it's about 35 miles from downtown Chicago. So it's kind of the far out suburbs where he grew up. But he trained at Steel Domain, which was Danny Dominion school, which the premier place for guys to train in Chicago at that time. And Ace Steel was there. And lo and behold, the Steel Domain school was three blocks from where I'll be tomorrow night in Portage Park.
Wow.
I think it's now in a place where MMA people, you know, MMA training
right.
is going on there. But yeah, that's where Steel Domain was. So he definitely was a Chicago. He definitely cut his teeth there, and then did wrestle on the Chicago indie scene before he really made it big. But the other thing I wanted to talk about was the media scrum after Friday night. So he took questions from the media with Tony Khan. There were a few interesting things, and some of this I've already read out in the media, but some of it really hasn't been highlighted. When he was answering the questions, I just want to get a few high points here. One was somebody asked him about the contract, and he said, well, he wasn't going to talk about how the sausage was made. And the only thing that they really said was he and Tony Khan assured the listeners that he would be around for a long time, which, of course, he said in the promo, too.
Yeah.
And they asked him about, if he cried when he was out there, and he said, well, yes, he did cry, and he thought he would cry more than he actually wound up crying, and that the promo was absolutely off the cuff, that was a shoot what he said in the promo about needing to go out there and feel it before he knew what he was going to say. That he'd been talking with Tony Khan for about a year and a half before this debut, and, of course, he knew that it had to wait until after the pandemic. But he said he was the kind of person he was the kind of girl that needed to be wined and dined before you got her into bed, because he's basically a paranoid, neurotic, and very careful person. And he's heard stories for years about every year or so somebody saying they had money and they were going to do like another version of ECW, blah, 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 blah. So he was skeptical, to say the least. They also asked him about comparing the thing Friday night with his big moments in WWE. And he said, of course, the one Friday night was organic, and everything in WWE, he said, was a fight, and it kind of squeezed the life out of him, any kind of the moments that he had there.
Sure. To me, Larry, that's akin to, you know, if you've ever talked to Ricky Steamboat about anything, he doesn't care for the stuff he did in WWF, even the really good stuff, because he was like, he didn't get to be an artist there, right?
Yeah.
You know, he wrestled Macho Man in a match that they rehearsed so many times. They were like high schoolers doing the Crucible in high school, you know? So it's just like, to him, that wasn't, like, to him, that wasn't, and I mean, everybody loves Macho Man, but it's the one thing that we ignore about Macho Man, right? Because we like him so much. But, you know, he just rehearsed everything to death. And to Steamboat, that wasn't wrestling. And to Punk, I think what was so refreshing, and, you know, people, of course, are tribing up and turning it into, well, you know, Becky Lynch was bigger, or, you know, Roman Reigns said this or whatever. But the truth is, like, it was a triumph over this idea that pro wrestling still exists. And I'm just putting it that bluntly, that brutally. Punk showed that on some level pro wrestling exists, and content creation, which is what WWE, has its place, but ultimately you can't make magic. You can only make a good product.
Mm-hmm.
And people still believe in magic. That's the difference in a nutshell, point blank, period.
He would agree wholeheartedly. He said you don't need 16 cooks. and that a few select people's input is all that was needed in that thing Friday night. He also said that the people at AEW, which I know you believe this wholeheartedly, the people at AEW have fun. And he said, but there's room for both, having fun and being deadly serious.
Fun is things going well. That is my mantra. Fun is greatness. Nothing feels better than greatness. And I don't know who can deny that that was great. And the great stuff that happened in the WWE, I mean, again, this is going to sound like I'm tribing up. I'm not. I'm just stating what I think. And that, did greatness happen on SummerSlam? Maybe. But every great thing you can point to had an asterisk, did it not? Becky Lynch, that sure was great. But the booking of Bianca Belair sure sucked. Brock Lesnar coming in was great. But, oh, I guess Cena's not going to be there anymore. And how many appearances is Brock really going to make? I mean,
yeah.
And it could be great, this idea of, you know, Heyman in the middle is phenomenal in theory. But as we've seen many times before, I'm curious, you know, the show that's got my attention the most this week is tonight's NXT. What is that thing going to start looking like?
Yeah, that's coming on here in just a couple minutes, really, since they're going to revamp it.
Right. And I mean, when, you know, we got the answer, what's Rampage going to look like? And the answer is, it looks like it's going to be pretty damn good, pretty damn fun, and it's only an hour.
Yeah.
And all of those things feel like assets right now, you know?
Just a couple more things from the media scrum. The ice cream bar thing, you probably already heard that that was him, and that was his an Andy Kaufman thing from when Andy Kaufman took everybody out from the Carnegie Hall concert
for
milk and cookies. For milk and cookies,
everybody, get into the bus for milk and cookies.
And Punk said
he Punk
started
came out of pocket, man. 86
yeah,
grand.
From a local ice cream shop in Chicago called Pretty Cool Ice Cream. Made all those. It's a little shop down by Logan Square where AEW and Freelance run. And that's where all those ice cream bars came from.
And now they're selling them for $6 a pop, buddy.
Hey, good for those guys.
Good for those guys. And they're selling the wrappers for $50. So,
two other tidbits. One, he was asked if he'd watched Dark or Elevation, and he said no. He said he doesn't watch YouTube. He still watches CDs.
I believe that.
He had not yet. He said, of course, he's going to watch them now, but he had not yet seen them. That when he was asked about training, this is what concerned me. When he's asked about training, he said he had not done any specific in-ring training to wrestling at all as of Friday night. And, of course, he was going to now, but, you know, that's what? He's got 2 weeks?
Yeah, and he looked like a skinny mini, man.
Didn't he? You know, it's like riding a bike in the best sense. And I thought to myself, well, okay, that's cool when you're 22. That's cool when you're 32. But 42? I don't know. I have concerns there.
Me too, but you know what? Sure is exciting.
And you know they're going to give the fans will give him a pass. They've been giving Jericho a pass like crazy. They're going to give Punk a pass too.
And I think they picked their opponent very carefully. I think Darby's exactly the right guy because Punk can throw him around without strain, right? Can throw him around.
Right.
Punk, people can say whatever they like about Punk and his MMA career. Here's one thing that guy showed me. he's willing to take a hit. And nothing will get you by in a modern match better than take a hit. You know? Just take that beating. And as long as he doesn't get injured, it's going to be a home run at the pay-per-view. And really, that's what's unique about Punk versus Becky Lynch versus Brock Lesnar. And you know what that is? People would just as soon hear Punk talk as wrestle.
Yeah.
Whereas Becky Lynch, who apparently is not ready to wrestle, which is why they're doing what they're doing. So what the hell are they going to do for 2 months with her? How many times can you watch her walk out there? Not many.
Right.
And Brock Lesnar, I mean, especially if Heyman's not with him. I don't know how excited I am to hear, you know, Brock Lesnar and his man bun, you know, talking. So Punk, I mean, the crowd, I mean, Punk didn't even mention wrestling in the ring for the first 7 minutes of the promo. It was I've got a lot to say, and I'm going to be here for a long time to say it. And the crowd was as thrilled as they were to hear that Stone Cold was going to wrestle one more match. They didn't care about him wrestling at all compared to they want to hear. They just love the idea. I think the idea of him is actually bigger than him, which is what makes it so amazing to me. Just the idea of what he represents, anti-WWE style.
Yes.
You know, a guy who nobody would deny paid every due, a guy that nobody would deny fought against every odd and obstacle that he was put in front of. And a guy who unabashedly appears to love wrestling again. And, you know, that's a welcome relief over, you know, NXT, which is maybe the purest wrestling show there is, and that's not good enough. That's disquieting to me.
They can protect the hell out of him as far as the in-ring goes, and nobody's going to care, and I think they're smart enough to do that. I know they're smart enough to do that. So I don't. So if they go that route, I think it's going to be fine. And the other thing is, he's not a short guy. He's tall. He's 6'2". So he's not going to look like a tiny guy in there. Even if he did look pretty skinny, for sure. But I think they can finesse around that.
I was going to say this on full disclosure. I think CM Punk is also going to take a very interesting place in AEW and in wrestling in that I think working CM Punk is going to be like an unofficial wrestling title of its own. I don't think Punk is ever going to wrestle for the TNT title. I don't think he's ever going to wrestle the world champion. I think Punk is the attraction in and of himself, and everybody's going to just want to know who's going to get to work him next. And it's going to serve its own, like, very powerful thing on the show. You will have entire shows built around so-and-so is going to wrestle Punk. You know, and that's not a bad place to be. It's certainly better than just adding another title willy-nilly, you know.
Yeah.
So I'm excited
everybody gets
to see
their
that.
Punk. They get their Punk match. And that can be the thing right there, just getting that Punk match. Well, we got to get out of here. At least I got to get out of here, and you probably do too. But we'll be back next week.
We will. We're going to be back next week to help out with Crossroads. Big stuff happening at Southern Fried. And I'm sure by then there'll be other stuff to talk about as well.
Yes, sir.
Well, thank you to David Marquez. Best of luck with that show. And GWH News and Notes Blogspot.com is where you're going to read all that good from Larry and Rob and me and everybody else. So for Larry Goodman, I'm Stephen Platinum, and we're going to see you next week on The Tipping Point.
Thank you for listening to this broadcast. A production brought to you by the GWH Radio Network. Stay tuned to GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com for the latest information on upcoming events and more. As always, we thank you for your continued support.